Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and this morning we're going to be in verses 13 through 16, going back to our series, talking about the discipleship theme in the book of Matthew, and we found that the book of Matthew is a lot about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple and what the mission is, and we'll see that as we continue forward. But this series is really meant to get us back to the basics of what does it mean to be a disciple? What should we be doing as disciples? And so it's good to always go back to the basics because you're set back on that solid foundation. How ought we to live, or what is our mission as well? And so most recently, a couple weeks ago, we learned about the Beatitudes and we saw they were really foundational qualities that a disciple should have and should be seen in how we live. And now, once again, we'll see how disciples ought to live as we look at this well-known passage of, as you know, the salt and light in the world. Recently, my wife and I were watching a movie together, and there was this old man, and he was a curmudgeon. Do you know what a curmudgeon is? It's not an often word that we use, but the dictionary says it's a bad-tempered, difficult, and cantankerous person. It's sort of that person who is a continual grouch, right? They're cranky all the time. They're a grumbler. They're a complainer. And that's exactly what this guy was like in the movie. And he was just always grumbling under his breath. He was complaining about every little thing. He seemed to have no joy, no kindness, no contentment, and he was not really a pleasant person to be around. The way he would talk to others was very unkind. And so coming into contact with this guy in the movie did not make your day better. It made it worse. He would bring people down. He would treat them badly. He would complain about what they are doing, even if it was something innocently done. And as I thought about that man, this curmudgeon of a man, I thought to myself, I sure hope we as Christians aren't the curmudgeons of the world. I sure hope we aren't, right? We shouldn't be people who have no joy and who complain all the time. But how often are we like that? We shouldn't be people who treat others meanly and harshly. Are we being attentive to the way that we talk to people? And we shouldn't be people who make the world worse, but make it better. And that's what we see in this passage on salt and light. We are to be people who bring great beneficial impact to the world, not the opposite. Let me read the passage for you this morning, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In this text, we first see, number one, our identity. Oh, it's not up there. But number one, our identity and purpose, distinct and impactful. So you can write that in. Our identity and purpose, distinct and impactful. So as we go through life, as we think about different groups of people, there are different distinctives, different characteristics that come out, that are come to our mind, right? And so when you see a person who is a football player or basketball player, usually you can tell the distinctives by their size or their athletic ability. You can usually tell the characteristics of someone who is a city person versus someone from the sticks, right? And you can usually tell those distinctives. Or when you think of a politician, there are certain distinctives and characteristics that come to our minds. You think about a businessman or a businesswoman, and there are certain characteristics that distinguish them from someone who is a general laborer. And so any kind of group that's brought up, there's these particular characteristics that come to our mind, as well as we understand that there's certain things that they're all about, right? And so a pastor, if you hear of a pastor, you probably know he's all about God, right? I sure hope so, right? Or you think about a sports player, they're all about sports. If you hear of a librarian, you can make the assumption they're probably very much interested in books, right? Or you hear of an activist, you know they're purposeful about raising awareness about something that they're passionate about. And so as you think about Christians, what should characterize Christians? What are some of our distinctives that we should have? And there are many things that the Bible shows us, but according to our passage, we see here that we should be distinct and impactful. Distinct and impactful. Look at what Jesus says. He talks about how we as his followers are salt and light. And the first one, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, unlike our day, where salt is kind of important for our meals, right? But we have various different spices and stuff. But salt in this Bible times day was highly valued. And so salt was in that one way brought flavor to food. So for us, we have myriads and myriads of spices galore, right? And we could use this and use that to flavor up our food. But for them, it was so important. But salt was also used as a preservative in that day to help food not to spoil. And so they would use this to preserve it because they didn't have refrigeration like we have. And so they had to use salt. And so it was so important for them that they had salt on hand, that they had salt to preserve food, to flavor it and make it better and things like that. And so both of these purposes may be at play here when Jesus is talking about how we, as Christians, are the salt of the earth. Meaning we bring flavor to the world. We make it better, should make it better, that is, and that's what we'll see in our passage. And also we preserve the world from decay. Did you know that? That's what salt does. It preserves from decay and spoil, and that's what we are supposed to be in the world. So we're salt, but also light. You are the light of the world. We're supposed to be like the city set on a hill that can't be hidden, right? We're supposed to be like this lamp that gives light to the house. Because you think about how important light is, it's a very important thing. We're used to flipping on a light switch, and we have it right there. We have light. But it's so important because, let's say you live in continual darkness, you stumble, you get hurt. I think about the Egyptians. One of the plagues was darkness. Do you remember what it said? The Egyptians, they couldn't see each other. And they pretty much sat in their homes for 3 days. They couldn't function, right? And that's so important for light, for us to have light. Imagine walking around your house in complete darkness and you'd be bumping into stuff and stumbling into things. Or imagine walking through the forest in pitch black. It wouldn't be good. You'd be stumbling, falling down hills and walking into trees and walking over roots. Think of the importance of a lighthouse or a ship in the dark. What does that lighthouse do? It provides the shine so that ship can see, hey, there's danger ahead. There's death ahead if you can't see in the dark for a ship. And so as the light of the world, that's what we are for the world. We reflect Christ, who is the true light. We are the ones pointing up to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus. We're the ones supposed to be sharing the message of life, sharing the message of Jesus who brings light and sight to the world, to this dark world. And so that's what Jesus calls us, put very succinctly, of course. We are salt and light. But let's think further about salt and light. And one thing you realize is if we are going to be salt and light, we must be distinct. We must be distinct. You see, salt is salt because it's salt. It's not meat, right? It's not water. It's not dirt. It's salt. And so if it loses its saltiness, it no longer becomes this distinct essential ingredient. That's what Jesus is showing here. It no longer, if it doesn't have salt, it's kind of like dirt. You just throw it on, people trample over on it. It has to be distinct to be salt. Think of light. Light is distinct from darkness, isn't it? If it becomes darkness, it's not light, it's no longer distinct, it's no longer effective. And so as Christians, he says here that we are salt, we are light. This is who we are in Christ. Meaning this, we do not have to become salty, we do not have to become light. We are in Christ, salt and light. The key is, do we remain distinct that way? Do we remain what we are? Or do we lose our saltiness? Or do we hide our light? That is the difference. That is the key. See, many Christians do not think this way. They do not cherish and celebrate that we are different from the world. We are different. And the reason is because they don't want to be seen as weird. In fact, many Christians see being seen as weird and different and irrelevant as some of the worst things that they could do, as something that they could avoid altogether. But Christ is showing us that we should embrace our distinctiveness because he has made us distinct. We are distinct. Jesus says elsewhere, if you were of the world would love you of it as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We have different values and pursuits. We have different beliefs and mindsets. We have different ways of living, as we sure should. And I'll talk more about why this is so important, this distinctiveness. But moving on to the impact of salt and light. Think about the impact of salt and light. What impact should Christians make as salt and light in the world? Well, think of a bland piece of chicken. I remember having, maybe it was a hospital food or something, a bland piece of chicken. There's absolutely no seasoning on it. What does adding salt do? It gives it flavor and it makes it better. And that's what we as Christians should do. We should make the world a better place. We should be sort of like that flavoring that's added to society. You see, we're actually very used to a society that has many of its laws and principles and values that are actually influenced by Christian truths and principles and values. In fact, many of America's values and laws came from that foundational Christian values and beliefs. But just think of what would happen if our society had absolutely no Christian values, absolutely no principles were used in society. What happens? It turns into a pagan, secular society of survival of the fittest. Right? Hitler's atrocities, in many ways, grew out of his strong belief in Darwin's natural selection. Stalin's murderous ways stem in many ways from his ardent atheism. Like I said, many of us are used to society sort of grounded on many of these values. Now, of course, we're seeing some of these things torn away, but we're used to these values that influence and shape our society, right? The value of every life being important, or the need for compassion and love and things like that. But just think of how many of the societies were before Christ came. Think about that. And think about the difference that Christianity has actually made on the world. And you'd be amazed and shocked at how actually all these Christian truths and values have really shaped and helped society. So because they preserve life and care about and show love and sacrificial love and things like that. But before Christ, there was constant fighting. There was among tribes and nations. It was a brutal time to be alive. Paganism was everywhere. Where there was human sacrifices, child sacrifices were regular practice. So I want you to just imagine today, in today's world, if we heard of a country that was regularly practicing human sacrifice, child sacrifice, imagine the outrage. That just goes to show how much Christianity has actually impacted and influenced the world. And so Well, some people try to say that the world is worse off because Christians are in it. But actually, the world is a far better place because of Christians in it. Now, this is not to say that Christians haven't done horrendous things, right, throughout history. Many Christians have. But that's one of the points of this passage, is that Christians can either live as salt or not. Right? That just goes to prove the point. But when we are living as salt in the world, it is our compassion and love and kindness that brings great benefit to the world. But I wonder if we live this way. Do we live in ways that demonstrate more mercy than revenge? Do we live in ways that demonstrate more reconciliation than division? Do we live in ways that display more love and compassion than hostility and animosity? What about this one? What about more gratitude than complaining? More joy than despondency? You see, we ought to live this distinctive Christ-honoring, salt and light displaying lives in the world. And one commentator made this challenging point. He said this: if the only visible difference between Christians and secular people is that we go to church on Sunday and give money away more regularly, why would they want to join us? If we divorce, alienate our children, tell lies, and make dirty deals like everyone else, why not play golf on Sunday and spend our money on exotic vacations? We should be distinctive. We should be shining as lights. We should be those on the front line showing love and compassion to others and mercy. We should be joy-filled, hope-filled people who show joy and hope amidst a joyless, hopeless society. And as salt, we should preserve the world from decay. Because without Christians, the world goes to decay and corruption at a very rapid pace. But when we are being salt, we actually help slow down decay and slow down and prevent degrading at a more rapid pace. And so if you think about it, we're supposed to be the antiseptic of the world, right? Pointing people to the truth, pointing people to places where of God-given order and harmony and peace. But here's the thing with our role as preservatives, you could say, as antiseptic, is preservatives are irritants to decay. To those set on decay, we are irritants, aren't we? Because I don't want you preserving and things. I want it to decay and destroy. The devil destroys. He wants to bring down everything. He wants chaos. And so, of course, we're going to make him mad when we're trying to preserve things instead of letting them decay. And so many in the world will not like our preserving function because it hinders decay. This is one of the reasons why, of course, we face persecution, and Jesus said this would happen. But this irritant nature of our role is also seen as light. Because if you love darkness, what is light to you? It's irritating. It's irritating. Why do you keep shining that light? I want the darkness. And they want to extinguish it, get rid of that light. But we do not lose heart. We don't give up. This is what Christ has called us to do, to shine as light, to be salt, flavoring and preserving in the world. We are shining lights in a dark world so that the world can see the truth, so they can experience true life. But you notice here the ultimate goal. What is the ultimate goal? Because it's not merely a better society. Of course, that is a benefit. That's a benefit. But Jesus shows us there is a greater and grander ultimate goal of living this way, of living as light and salt in the world. There was a greater and grander role. Living as salt and light in the world bring God glory. Verse 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, some Christians are focused only on the betterment of society. That is sort of their ultimate. That the goal is, okay, let's make society better, and that's it. But they are being too nearsighted. They are aiming too shallowly.
too temporarily. The betterment of society is good, but we must look with higher and grander and more eternal eyes. We are salt and light in the world for the glory of God.
Jesus says that we shine as lights and they will see our good works, meaning we have to be displaying good works. We need to be seen. We need to be distinctive. And these shining lives lead others to give glory to God in heaven.
And as I thought about this idea, I thought about why. Like, why would our good work shining lives cause people to give glory to the Father? Why is that?
There are at least two ways. We could put them in this way. When we shine as lights, we act as mirrors and arrows. Mirrors and arrows.
So you think about a mirror. What does it do? It reflects an image, doesn't it? And so what we do as mirrors is we're reflecting God's goodness in the world. We're reflecting His kindness, His love. Right? We're reflecting His perfect kindness and perfect love, and we're reflecting that out in the world. And so they see our lives, they realize, wow, they are reflecting God. But also, we're arrows, because what does an arrow do? It points towards something, doesn't it? And so what do our good works do? They point to the source of our good works. They're pointing up to the source. And so when we shine as lights, they see our good works, and they start to realize the true source of our lifestyle. Meaning it's not that we just thought it up one day, oh, this will be fun, right? It's not that we just do it in our own effort. No, they realize that God empowers them to live this way. God is the source of why they're living this way. You see, when weak, sinful people live in such a way that they shine as lights in the world, people get to see the power of God on display. Because you think about our world, it pushes and pushes self-seeking, self-centeredness. And to not be self-seeking in a self-seeking world, it is radical, and it shines and radiates brightly in a dark world. They see a difference. That we could not seek revenge but readily forgive, I mean, that is countercultural. It glows in a gloomy world. And we could not be mean and nasty, but loving and compassionate. That just beams brightly in a dog-eat-dog world. And when they see the light, they think, like, where does this light come from? What is its source? There has to be a reason how they could live that way. Because this isn't typical. This goes against all of what we tend to do as people. And the reason is the Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. The Lord has taken sinners who were living for themselves and transformed them into shining lights. So many people who see us and see our good works can't help but say, only God can do that with a life. Only God. Now, not everyone will respond this way. We just learned a little bit verses before is we're going to be persecuted for Christ. And so there are some who are going to attack and persecute. But there will be others. There will be others who are led to Christ, who are led to God the Father and give Him glory because they see our lives and they see a difference. And so do you live in such a way as to be a mirror and an arrow, reflecting and pointing out to the Father? Or do you live so that you will get the glory? Because so often we live so that we will get the glory. We may even do good works so that we may get the glory. But we do it so that He will get the glory. And so we reflect and point up to Him. And so we are to be salt and light. We are salt and light, and we to remain that way. But Jesus shows us something here, that there is a certain possibility for us as salt and light. We could be saltless salt. We could be hidden light, and both of which don't do any good. And so what we see here, there's certain temptations that can come, and they are this. dilution and seclusion. These are the temptations that can come upon us as salt and light. And if you notice there, he says certain things. He says something about salt and he says something about light. And they both show us a temptation. Notice what he says about salt. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And then he talks about light a little bit later on, and he says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And so you see here, he's using two examples, two illustrations, he's sort of like an object lesson somewhat, and we see some similarities between these salt and light, don't we? That both salt and light are beneficial and needed, but there's something that could happen, isn't there? That if salt loses its property of being salty, it becomes what? Useless. It's like you just throw it and people trample under it. What good is it? And you also see with light. If light is hidden, it becomes useless, ineffective. You see, salt and light, they each have a role and they each have a purpose. But they could be used in such a way as to not be helpful. They have great potential, but it could be squandered. It could be. There's a possibility that it can be squandered. So saltless salt isn't helpful. Hidden light isn't helpful. They're both useless. And so by showing us this, Jesus is showing us that there are temptations for us as salt and light to waste our impact in the world. To waste it. To not be impactful. So even though we are salt and light, there's ways that we could not be helpful, not be effective, not have that potency in the world. And then temptations, I would say this way, dilution and seclusion. So dilution, think about the temptation. And I get dilution from the image of salt losing its saltiness. Anyone in here ever had weak coffee? I hate weak coffee. What's the problem with it? It's too light diluted, right? Too much water for the grounds that you have put in. What happens is losing its strength, its flavor, its potency. And that's what can happen with us with salt, is we could be so diluted that we are no longer salty. We no longer have this saltiness to us. And the way that we become saltless salt in many ways is by blending in with the world. We no longer have distinctiveness in the world. And this is so important to know, to remember. Is because so many Christians try to blend in with the world in order to win them to Christ, but they're only working against themselves. By blending in, they are losing their distinctiveness, and therefore they lose their impact in the world. You know, we cannot become like the world. We cannot look like them, but we must realize that by being distinct, we bring something needful and helpful and beneficial. And so we shouldn't think being considered weird and different by the world is the worst thing. That's what we are, right? Jesus is saying, you are different. You are distinctive. You're not of the world. And so you must actually embrace your difference, embrace your distinctiveness, because you are distinct. Can people tell a difference between you and the world around you? Are you distinct? Like, can they look at your life and say, there's something different about him? There is something different about her. The way that they talk, what they talk about is so different than all the other employees, the way they love, the way they live, what they value, it is so different than other people that I have met. There is something different. Or is it more so, hey, he's just like one of us. right? He's one of those guys, right? He's, you know, he's spelling out curse words left and right. He is valuing what we value. His priorities are on the same level as us. Is it like that? You see the difference. In one way, you are completely blending in and you are not distinct. The other one is you are distinct, and it's for a good reason, right? We're not just weird to be weird. I say this often. We don't be weird just to be weird. We are weird because we are weird in Christ, meaning because of him, because of what he values, it is going to be different than this dark world. It's going to be weird to the world in some way. It's going to be different. And so we must embrace our distinctiveness because remember who it is, Jesus. And the world hated him, didn't they? They thought he's something else, right? They knew he was different. Remember who it is and how it is your distinctiveness that actually makes you salt and not dirt. It what makes you distinct. It is your distinctiveness that makes you light and not darkness. And it is actually this peculiarity that makes you impactful. You see, Christians make the world a better place as they make it more pleasant and they preserve it from corruption. But we can only do this if we remain and keep our distinctiveness rather than by being deluded. Because if we lose if we become deluded, we lose our beneficial impact on society. And so you see, this broken, dark world doesn't need more copies of itself. It doesn't need more copies of itself to fix its problems. It needs something different. It needs the changing, transforming message of Jesus Christ. Right? God's powerful working through his people, a salt and light. That is what it needs. It needs our distinctiveness. And so we should not let fear or the approval of man make us deluded, because we will dilute our effectiveness. Yet that is what drives us many times, isn't it? The fear of man, the approval of man. But this compromise isn't effective. I thought this was really good. One commentator put it this way. He said, Christianity may make its peace with the world and avoid persecution, but it is thereby rendered impotent to fulfill its divinely ordained role. It will thus ultimately be rejected even by those with whom it has sought compromise. He's saying if we compromise, yeah, we may avoid persecution, but we end up losing our effectiveness. And what happens is eventually the world sees us as useless and rejects us anyway. Like, what impact do they make? What difference? They're just one of us. And so it's so important not be diluted, but also we cannot be secluded, because that's another temptation. It is sort of the other extreme is seclusion. And I get this image of sort of being a light that is hidden away under a basket, under a bushel. It's being secluded away from where it's supposed to be, on the lampstand, right? You see, when it comes to the church's relationship to the world, these are the two most common temptations, right? So some try to blend in and become diluted, and the others do not blend in and become diluted, but what they do ends up with the same result. Instead of being diluted, they become secluded. And so they try to avoid the world by secluding themselves away from it. But yet, by doing this, what are they doing? They're like a lamp hidden under a basket, aren't they? They're secluded away so that they're not effective. Like, but don't we understand that light that's hidden is useless? Light that is put under something and unseen is useless. We're supposed to be like that city set on a hill. It can't be hidden, right? Everyone is able to see it. Its effects are felt. And so Christianity is not to be idle and passive in the world. We have to be active in the world. A church should not seclude themselves from the world, but is to have a light-giving presence in the dark world. And so we must get this. We don't just sit back and seclude ourselves away from the world, because by doing that, we have lost our mission as lights. We are the light that the dark world needs. And so if we seclude ourselves away, we have lost sight of that mission. We have lost our impact in the world. We're like hidden light. It has great potential, but it has no impact. Great potential, no impact. It is not by seclusion that you shine as lights, is it? But it is by stepping up and actively living rightly so people can what? See our good works. They can see them shine. And so if we seclude ourselves, if we hide our light, we are staying away from the world, but we are not giving the world what it needs, are we? Because this world is in darkness. It is desperately in need of light. They need the truth. They need eternal life because they're walking in darkness. They're walking in death. They're separated from God. So we see these illustrations that Jesus gives, and they're really amazing illustrations. And he shows us that it is actually our distinctiveness that gives us our effectiveness in the world. Put another way, we could say it this. If we as a church lose our distinctiveness, we lose our effectiveness. If we lose our distinctiveness, we lose our effectiveness. If salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer distinct. It's no longer effective. If light is hidden, it is no longer distinct, it is no longer impactful. Because salt that loses its saltiness, it becomes essentially like dirt, just thrown to the side, people walk on it. If a light is hidden, it becomes like darkness, essentially. It's not giving light to the whole house, and it loses its impact. And so we see we must step into what we're called to do. We are called to make a difference in the world. And so what we see here in this passage is that we are to impact the world as salt and light for the glory of God. Impact it for the glory of God. And so Jesus is teaching us something so important here, isn't he? That as his disciples, we have a great purpose. We have a great function that we must not neglect. As salt and light are beneficial and needed, we, as Christ followers, we bring great benefits and needed aspects to the world. You think about it, one aspect, we do help the betterment of societies as God's foundational truths and God-given order, right? We help the world with essential wisdom to follow God's wisdom in rightly ordering things. But even more than that, we bring the saving message of Jesus. We bring hope, the message of hope, the message of life, as we shine and we show off Christ to a dark and dying world that is just in darkness. And we're able to shine that light and show them this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life, and his name is Jesus. And so if we are salt, and we are, why would we be unsalty? If we are light, why would we hide it? Let's live as salt and light in this world. Not blend in, but also not seclude ourselves. Because our impact and effectiveness in the world is at stake. Let's live for Christ. Sharing him with others, doing good works so that God the Father gets the glory. Because he deserves all the glory. We don't. He deserves the glory. Look at what he's done in Jesus Christ. But because of our sin, we deserve eternal death and separation from God forever. Yet Christ came and lived on this earth. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. He died in our place for our sins. He rose again so that all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ alone could be made right with God and live with him forever. And so when we remember that life-altering, eternity-impacting reality, when we truly reflect upon Christ and what he has done and our role in the world, we realize that that shouldn't make us curmudgeons. That shouldn't make us hermits. That shouldn't make us worldly. It should make us distinct and impactful. So so that we live distinct and impactful lives for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done so much for us in Christ Jesus. We're so thankful for what you have done and how you have transformed us from the inside out. Lord, help us to remember this all-important truth, the mouth of Jesus, that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world. Help us to remember that we have an important identity, purpose, and role in this world. Lord, we aren't called to sit back or blend in, but we are called to live out how Christ has called us to live and be on mission here. Lord, we are called to reflect you and mirror you and show people your glory, how you can take sinners and just change them into people who are more kind, more loving, more sacrificial, even though the world is pushing the other way. Lord, help us to keep our distinctiveness. Help us to be impactful in this community. Lord, help us to start there in this community. Help us to reflect upon some ways that we can be salt and light in practical ways in this community. Help us to reflect upon those things and to live for you as we go through our days. In Christ's name, amen.